Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Some man you just can't read.
It's because of men like you that all must be destroyed.
Uh-oh. Is this going to be another crazy experiment that crosses a line man was not meant to cross?
I'm Jim Burns. There are lots of things that really motivate us guys. Those thoughts and activities that fuel our passions can lead us to, well, greater things or down the path to destruction. If you're a man, or if there's a man in your life that you care about because he's your husband, you know that a man's passions can either make or break every key relationship in his life. That's why it's important to not only discover what those true passions are, but then to also be able to stay focused on using them to improve your quality of life as well. Well, Mark Elfshan has written an outstanding book on this topic. It's called 10 Passions of a Man's Soul. Stay with us as I continue my conversation with Mark about discovering a man's passion and then using it for good to impact the lives of his family and his friends. That's coming your way right now on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, happy Memorial Day. Of course, if you're listening to us online, you can listen to the program anytime you want to. And if you're podcasting with us, well, you've got the program a couple days in advance. And if you are not podcasting with us as yet, the Monday through Friday radio edition of the program is also our podcast, and you can podcast along with us absolutely free. Just go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button. When you get to that screen, it'll show you a podcast. Click and then hit that link and click right onto it. Get your free subscription going. Right now, what you're going to hear during the next half hour is part two of Dr. Jim Burns' continuing conversation with author and radio host Mark Elfstrand. So here we go. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of a great conversation we're having with Mark Elfstrand. We're talking about discovering a man's passion. He's written a new book called 10 Passions of a Man's Soul. We talked about it last time and want to continue this conversation. Mark is the executive producer and the host of the morning program on WMBI in Chicago. And it's the flagship station of the Moody Broadcasting Network, a great, great network around the United States. Serves on the organizing committee of the Chicago Executive Forum. And he's married to Rhonda, and they live in Illinois, and they've got three married children and have a passion for helping men make right and wise decisions. Mark, we were talking about this in the last program, just how important it is for guys to develop more of a passion in their heart. And I want to take something that I got out of your book. It says it's more important for a man to be concerned with his character than his reputation, because character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that when you talk about what's going wrong in American business, why do we have the Enrons? Why do we have business scandals? You know, why do people put important statements about their mission on the wall of their buildings and then not live up to them? And, you know, I was talking with a fellow recently who said that in his business and in Enron, they both had a similar word in their mission statements, and the word was integrity. Why is it that you don't associate that word with that? I mean, but it isn't the business. The enterprise is simply a makeup of people. And to a large degree, the names of men would surface in that particular, well, in any case of a business, men or women who are in the leadership roles. So when it comes to that, certainly character is going to be made up of what? It's going to be made up of the heart and soul, the deep things that drive a man. And if they're not deep in your soul, if they're not deep in the existence of who you are, they're going to show up, and eventually it'll wind up being your reputation. But it won't be because you were a man of character.
Yeah, and what's amazing about it is I think men have this deep desire to be men of character. Sometimes they don't know how to do it, but you know, the Bible says the man
of integrity walks securely. And I believe that that man of integrity who walks securely will have a job that is secure, will have a wife that is secure if they're married, will have children that are secure, and really does have to do with this whole idea of character. Now, we've been talking about the 10 passions of a man's soul. We talked about two of them last time. Great, great conversation. We left off with the passion of adventure, which is so important in a man's life. The third passion that I want you to talk about is the passion of power. For most of us, we got a glimpse of this, or at least the abuse of it, sometimes by the schoolyard bully or somebody like that. But there's something much more to that. Guys want to have this passion of power, but help us understand what it means from kind of a Christian context.
Yeah, well, you know, power comes in various dimensions. When I was a kid, that's what we were talking about, those bullies. You're really, it's physical strength in the early part of life that a man uses as his power mechanism. I got into speech and debate when I was in high school, and I learned something very interesting. There was another kind of power, and it was the power of words. And then when you got a little bit older, you began to see another kind of power. There were guys who got into business, and they got pretty successful in the power of money. Let me just give you an example of that. Bill Gates. Here is a man, of course, that's extremely wealthy. When he speaks, I'm sure people in the room begin to shudder if he tells them he wants certain things done. And I don't mean they shudder because he's trying to cause that to happen. There's an automatic, instant respect for what he's attained in terms of his money. They realize he's a man of power. He may not be physically strong. He might not even be able to win an arm wrestling match with you, but he's a very powerful man. Well, so we see these different kinds of power. And then, of course, political power is another one, where now you have the opportunity to decide where money is spent or how certain things in government are going to be administered. People begin to get terrified by that. So a man trying to grasp this and say, where am I in the power scheme, has to be able to look at another man and say, who is my role model when it comes to this discussion of power? Who is the guy that begins to demonstrate what it's really like to master power? For the believer, well, that answer has to be obvious. There's only one true example that God gave us, one perfect example of how a man should live, and that's the person of Jesus. And Jesus brings a very interesting word into the dynamic, and that word is meekness. The definition's been given before. I'm just going to repeat something that's probably been around for years, but it really made a difference in my life, strength under control. Well, it doesn't imply meek is, you know, I'm not willing to stand up, I'm not willing to do anything. It implies that I've got the strength, but it's under control. I'm not I don't participate in martial arts. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm certainly respect it. And what I most respect about it is it's not, by its nature, tending to be aggressive. It tends to be protective. And what I appreciate, again, is that sense of meekness. They've got the capability to use it, but they don't use it unless they're in a situation where it's absolutely required.
No, and that's important, because back to the schoolyard, we at one time thought power was the bully who was, you know, beating us up. But where Jesus kind of throws it to us, and we're not used to this, because Jesus is both powerful, he's also meek, he also spoke with authority, and he lived it out because he was really living a life of integrity, and that's really what brought him the power, and I think that's the same with us.
Well, in Jesus' case, he certainly could have called upon the resources of angels to deliver him in circumstances.
Right.
He chose not to do that. Why? Because his ultimate purposes were not the same as what man's were.
Right. I noticed in your book you were talking about John Wooden, who's one of my heroes, and the fact that John Wooden actually was a good steward of power. At the beginning, he was a man who had some anger, and yet he got that under control, and actually that's when he began to even influence people to a greater extent.
And again, the call in this particular chapter is to examine what power is like, what true power is like, to look on the continuum and go, you know, are you hungry after power, or are you a man that maybe needs to slide back the other way? And some folks need to step up to the plate and take responsibility for things, not because they're demanding power, but they just need to recognize that there are tremendous benefits that come from power. You can do a lot of good.
Right, and that's a great thing to put an emphasis on. Speaking of coaches and competition, the next passion is the passion of winning. You know, our society sends boys and men, I think, some mixed messages when it comes to competition.
Yeah, you know, it is a mixed message. Competition, I mean, let's just take it in the sense of business. Let's take it out of the sports arena for a moment. When we hear of a big conglomerate that has put somebody out of business, or a tycoon that has come in for a hostile takeover, you know, the average American gets pretty upset about that. It's very interesting. Now let's come back to sports. And let's say it's UCLA, if you like John Wooden, it's UCLA, and all of a sudden your UCLA Bruins go into a basketball tournament and they defeat the opposition by 40 points. you don't have any remorse over that. Right. And so it's very interesting to watch how this plays out in that particular arena. Winning is a very important thing for people to learn. Why? Because it teaches them the competitive nature that I think God puts into us, not for the point of defeating other human beings, but rather for the point of pursuing excellence. And you see that in guys like Bill McCartney. I mean, you see his heart towards this. I actually, you know, have an interview with him at the end of that particular chapter. And you can tell this man is not about winning for the sake of winning. He is about winning for the sake of causing his players to step up to the plate, is the case, or in college football, onto the field, and actually prove who they are, that they've got the heart of somebody that wants to pursue excellence.
Well, and it's interesting because back in my Promise Keepers days as a speaker, I would watch Bill, and Bill could motivate men in those stadiums to win for God and to win for their family. And really, it was very similar to what he was talking about with the players.
Yes.
He moved it to more of an eternal perspective. Love a quote in your book. It's William Macy. He says, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn to do it well.
Yeah.
So in other words, sometimes it just takes perseverance to win.
Yeah, I heard that from Zig Ziglar originally, and I just laughed the first time, and I still think I think about it, but it's so true.
No, I laughed too. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about a passion for pleasure. I think a lot of wives say, well, that's what my husband wants to do, is have a passion for pleasure. He has a passion for pleasure. Let's talk about it when we come back.
We're talking about discovering a man's passion today here on the Homeward Broadcast. I'm parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in conversation with author and radio talk show host Mark Elfstrand. And if you missed any part of this program, if you'd like to learn more about what Mark's all about with his writing and with his speaking and his radio broadcasting, go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, take you to the program schedule. You'll see Mark's name for today's broadcast. You can click onto it and learn more about the book and learn more about what Mark's up to these days and his very, very extensive broadcasting career. More in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Al?
Al?
Hi.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are Debbie and the girls?
Oh, they're just fine. Say, I've been wondering if I could ask you something.
Sure, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to ask you this, but, well, you know how deeply I respect your marriage and the way you've raised your kids and all.
God's been very good to Margaret and me.
He sure has. So I was wondering if I could, you know, spend some time with you on a regular basis, sort of pick your brain a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure there's much left to pick, but let's plan on that, Bill. I'd be honored.
Each of us needs at least one mentor. I mean, someone you can follow as an example when it comes to, say, parenting decisions. We need mentors in parenting just like we do in the business world. I can't begin to tell you how important it has been in my own life to have the input of a mature, wise, experienced other parent. For a free copy of my brand new tip sheet called How to Find a Mentor and Then Become One, go to homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Mark Elfstrand is with us. We're talking about discovering a man's passion. Mark serves in leadership with the Braveheart Men's Ministry at Grace Point Church in Illinois. He's the executive producer and host of the morning show on WMBI FM Chicago, the flagship of Moody Broadcasting Network. It's a great network. It's a great ministry, a great mission. And interestingly enough, if you've been listening to our program, you say, gosh, he has a radio voice. Well, that's why. A very, very articulate man with a great book called 10 Passions of a Man's Soul. Mark, before the break, we mentioned the term passion for pleasure. And I want you to comment on that because I thought that was a very interesting section in your book.
Well, actually, this would be one of the greatest potential weaknesses of a man. I mean, basically, who doesn't want to feel good?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a legitimate question and it's a legitimate issue. And well, why is that? Because God intended for us to enjoy things. I mean, we're actually wired to enjoy pleasure. But just like all of the passions that we face in life, it is so easy to get out of control. When I originally talked about the concept of this book with folks at Moody Publishers, I told Greg Thornton, their vice president there in charge, I said, you know, I my subtitle on this, just so you know, Greg, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. And I said, it really kind of falls in that area. I mean, you know, I read a book a few years ago that said how often men think about the subject of sex. And, you know, for a lot of men, it doesn't go very long. I mean, it's just a couple of minutes and their minds are back there. I mean, that is the single greatest pleasure drive that a man has. What does that tell us? Probably the single greatest area we better watch out for,
because
it could captivate us.
Right. You know, I can't speak for Satan, but if I was Satan, I'd go right after a man's sex drive because of that. And that's why I think so many people are involved in pornography and all the other things. False sense of pleasure, false intimacy.
And then what's the logical extension of pleasures out of control? Addictions.
Right.
And so that would be the drugs. That's the representation there, that there are people that are hooked on some kind of pleasure in life. It's something that gives them satisfaction that they cannot get boundaries around. And then rock and roll. Well, what is rock and roll? Hey, rock and roll is the party life. Mm-hmm. And I actually just opened the chapter by talking about a rather famous Super Bowl incident. And, you know, when they were saying, hey, Houston, let's party, you know, and well, what did that mean to all those people?
Right.
You know, this is a feel-good time. Let's just let ourselves feel good. Well, you know what? That's legitimate to a point. I mean, how fun is it to actually have a group of people together and have a party? That's a good thing.
Sure.
But if your life becomes known by the party atmosphere, if that's all it is, you're a very incomplete man, and you're going to wind up downline at some point going, you know what? I missed it.
It's the verb to party becomes a part of their life. And with that, when you see somebody living that kind of a lifestyle, you see broken relationships, you see broken promises, and so many, many problems. Another aspect of the passions of a man's soul that you talk about that was fasting, and I obviously am not going to be able to get to every passion. They'll have to take your book. But it's the passion of the hunt. Why is that important for us guys to wrap our arms around the concept that we actually need to be in a hunt?
Well, again, the hunt represents what men used to do. They would get up in the morning and they wouldn't get on the train. They would get their rifle or their bow and arrow. And basically the first objective was, can I feed my family for the day?
Right.
And in order to do that, I have to go out and hunt game.
Right.
So basically the hunt represents a man's passion about his work. And, you know, it's healthy, again, for a man to have passion about his work. But what you find is, you tend to find on the continuum, two very different kinds of men. One, the man who is passionate about his job to the degree that it becomes his life.
Right.
It is all of his identity. And then on the other side of the continuum, you find the man who basically feels like, you know, this company, all they do is take advantage of me. All I do is go to work. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to. And every benefit that they can give me, I'm going to take. Any way that I can slice this to cut to my advantage, I'm going to do it. And so you have men who look at work two very different ways. Well, obviously, a man who's going to be following the King of Kings wants to approach it in his fashion. And his fashion is that you've been gifted with something very special. Work was never intended by God to, when he originally designed work, to be a punishment for us. It was part of our life, something that we would enjoy doing, and he has equipped us to do this. So if you're not feeling satisfaction in life with work, you're missing a great aspect of life as a man. If, on the other hand, you're in love with your work and it's your mistress, in essence, then you're missing a whole other dimension of what God intended for man.
No, that's very important. And you're exactly right. When I saw that on your continuum, people go both ways, fascinatingly enough. Passion for relationships. You mentioned it in a previous program, just barely. Guys oftentimes don't think about relationships as they could, but yet really one of the most important things for a passion for a man's soul is that, as you said, to know and be known. How do they do that? What's the practical side to that?
Yeah, well, a few years ago, I did a program on talk radio back in Pittsburgh, and I was discussing a book that had to do with Secrets of a Small Town. And this author went into literally a small town, and he began to talk with the townspeople, and he told them what he was doing, writing this project. The town would never be identified. There would be no identifying marks even in his description of the town. And here was the fundamental question. Do you have a secret that you've never told anybody else that you'd like to reveal? And, you know, as I was talking to this guy, I was caught off guard because he said there were some people that, for example, one person went in, I think, to their father's bedroom and looked at something in the dresser drawer and for years was just dealing with the guilt of having done this. And he had circumstances that went all the way up to murder. And what he found in this was that there were people who were looking for someone to just be able to share a deep part of their life, something that was they were holding back. Well, I describe it this way. If you and I were authentic friends and you were going to be sharing something with me, I could give you some early signals right now about how I felt about it. I could raise my eyebrows. You told me, oh, Jim, I didn't know that about you. You know what I'm saying? I could lean back in my posture. I could give you very visual signals.
Right.
when a man wants to just describe who he is, and we're just good friends, we don't want those barriers up. Right. We want to know that there's somebody out there who would accept us. I actually did a follow-up program about secrets that men have, and I said, you know, if you don't have anybody else in the world that you could share your secret with and you need somebody, I'm willing to meet with you. This is on a talk show. I had three guys take me up on it. And each experience was unique, but one fellow in particular, and I share this with his permission, had said that his wife had accused him of molesting his children. And he said it's ruined everything about his life. And he went on and on for a few minutes. And I thought, you know, there's a piece missing here. And I said, did you? And he admitted to me that he did. I did not withdraw. I did not create my raised eyebrows. Right. I just simply know, you know, there's one guy here. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to be your friend. But, you know, there's some things you can get free from, and we could kind of work through that. And that's what we did. But for us to get down to the core of who we are, we need to find trust and acceptance. That happens in a small group if you got the right guys around you. But if you want to know to be a man of relationship, you're going to need to learn to be a man of trust, that secrets are safe with you, and that also that you can accept somebody as they are and help move forward from there. You do that with your kids, it'll change your relationship with your spouse. You do that with other men, and it'll change all the dynamic of your relationships in life.
Boy, that makes so much sense. You've got a great quote by Winnie the Pooh, of all people. You can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes.
Absolutely.
That's a great message. I want to talk about your last passion, which is the passion of legacy. I love that idea. But I need to say thanks for being with us, Mark. It's been a wonderful 2 days of broadcast, and I think we've helped a lot of people.
I'm honored. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thanks so much.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author, radio host, and speaker Mark Elstrand here on the Homeward Broadcast. Discovering a man's passion has been our theme. If you go to our website at homeward.com, go to the radio broadcast section, you'll find the link to Mark's website and what he's all about as far as his broadcasting and his speaking and his book writing as well. And of course, while you're there, why don't you browse around a little bit? Take a look at the Homeward Culture Brief, for example. If you're a man and you have kids and you want to learn what kind of culture they're growing up in, check out the Homeward Culture Brief. We deliver it every Friday via electronic mail, email as they call it. There's no subscription cost, but you do need to sign up and register for that. So go to homeward.com, start signing up to receive Homeward's online culture brief. Jim, as you mentioned just a moment ago, you want to conclude the program on a special note. We did cover 9 of the 10 passions of a man's soul that Mark Elstrand covers in his book, but the 10th one is one I know that's particularly important to you. Talk about this passion for legacy.
Well, that's good. You know, I love all the passions.
Yeah.
And yet legacy is something that I think is very important. It's actually right now, personally speaking, one of my driving passions. It's actually one of the driving passions for Homeward, too. Mm-hmm. We want to help parents mentor their children so that they can pass on that legacy of faith to the next generation and then to the next generation. It's very biblical. The first 25 years of a man's life are primarily based on things like recreation. I mean, pursuit of fun and pleasure. There's obviously schoolwork, there's other things, but pretty much they're not thinking about what they're going to leave to their grandchildren,
right,
if you would,
right,
when they're 25. And I have a bunch of boys kind of hanging around my house right now to,
yeah,
to say
you know
that's
that,
true
sure. Yeah.
Because I have 3 daughters.
Yeah.
Then from ages 25 to 50, men are seeking recognition, respect, reputation. They're focusing on their job. They're focusing on all that. About age 50, and again, I'm speaking in generalities, reality sets in. And this is often the season when a man starts thinking about his legacy. I'm in a small group right now with men over 50, and we talk a lot about legacy. And I bet you if we were in that group 15 years ago, we wouldn't have talked much about legacy, fortunately or unfortunately. This man starts to wonder, you know, how will I be remembered? He begins to think more carefully about what condition his marriage is in. Maybe he hadn't even thought much about it when they were younger. And whether or not his children are growing up to be responsible adults who love God. Well, this man is me, because I'm thinking a lot about legacy right now. And quite frankly, as I've said, that's the season of life that I'm in right now. It's exciting and it's wonderful. It's rewarding. And, well, to be honest, a little frightening at the same time. But you know what? Right now, I'm realizing that the passion of legacy is the one that's driving my life. And I like that. And I want to be a man of character now more than ever before. And I want that to be my legacy. I want my wife and my 3 daughters to think of me as a person who is a person of character. Now, you'll notice I said character is the heart of my passion right now. And I don't want you to confuse that with reputation. I love what the UCLA basketball coach John Wooden once said. Be more concerned about your character than your reputation, because character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Well, guys, make sure that you leave a legacy of character for your family and start building that legacy today. Now, my thanks again to Mark Elfstrand for spending some time with us talking about the 10 passions of a man's soul. And please know how much I appreciate you tuning in today to Homeward as well. Till next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.